Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. All right, rolling into this next episode, we have Kara Clark, and she's the owner and primary certified nutritionist of Kara Clark Nutrition. Now, she works with individuals and groups to promote overall health and really manage a wide range of nutrition-related issues. And she's figured out a system that really helps people make sustainable change. With a non-dieting approach, she has helped clients manage weight, energy, performance, diabetes, thyroid-related issues, allergies, eating disorders, and more. I mean, her passion for nutrition and wellness really grew when she performed athletically at a college level. And with experience in the industry dating back since childhood, the goal is to expose as many people as possible to really finding their optimal health in nutrition for elite performance. And she's not only a professional, but she's a wife, she's a mother of four daughters, which makes her very sensitive to the needs of the individual client. So Kara is just going to drop so much education in terms of how you can start approaching from a broad spectrum and what you should really start paying attention to. Plus, she mentions a challenge that she has starting super soon. And I just recommend going to the show notes, checking that out and getting in, because I know that she's helped thousands of people, mainly women, but anyone, really find change within how they approach nutrition and diet within their bodies. Kara, thank you so much for being here. I know that you are a wealth of knowledge, and I love following your page and everything that you just teach and promote and have done. I think it's absolutely amazing how you're helping people through nutrition and really understanding their bodies in that way. So thank you for being here.
You guys are so awesome for having me, and I feel honored, and I feel like almost a little fangirlish because we came to you, remember that,
for yes, services of course,
all that time ago, and we just admire you, my husband and I, so much, and it's always interesting to have him like backing somebody I'm collaborating with.
Oh, I love that. I told Dom about our first experience together, and like how we were both like, oh, I love what you do. Oh my gosh, this is what yeah.
Well, it is.
Although I have to say, I was a little worried because you were on your like 3-day fast.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, there's no way she's going to be able to work on my monstrous husband. She basically had to climb his back. But it was great. I was really impressed.
Yeah, you caught me in like a perfect like time of energy boost. I probably crashed after that.
Probably. I mean, I would anticipate that you did. So, yeah.
I think it's funny that when Jen was telling me about how you guys met, and it is just like when you meet a provider who kind of speaks that same language as you, it really is such a relief. And you can just feel that ping, because not all providers kind of have that approach where we understand we're trying to do this for the human, and everyone's a little bit different. And so the area of nutrition and diet and stuff, that's what we're here to talk to you about. But what we really want to touch on with people first is like what really drives you to be passionate about getting this information out there and helping other people find their path.
I love that you said that, because I do feel like there's like this energetic draw when you do connect on those levels. And I know that like in both of our lines of work, we probably like feel people out a little bit because there's so many like drawbacks to just being specifically clinical and not like completely focused on the full person, you know, mm-hmm. and how we communicate with, you know, people in our fields and then also with our clients. And it was great that Jen and I really spoke that same language. In fact, we were even kind of talking behind my husband's back because he doesn't speak that language. And we were on the same page, and it was like almost affirming to me that like, wow, she really knows the deep-rooted connection, you know, and then I knew he would listen to her. And so I've always felt so thankful for you guys. And, you know, and my experience, I've learned more from my experience than I have my studies, because people are so comprehensive and unique and yet so simple. Mm-hmm. Like everybody really just wants to be loved on. And and kind of be heard, you know? And I do feel like so many people probably come to both of us saying like, I have this, this, and this, and like nothing shows it, you know? And so I feel like my passion is to pull out of them their ability to believe in themselves, to believe in their bodies to heal, obviously, and then also to believe in like their decision making and their intuitive behaviors, especially with food. And so like 12 years ago when I started, it was like blasphemy to talk about the mind, body, and spirit approach. So I had to be like real sneaky about it.
It's so true, though. You start feeling like you get ostracized by your own profession. And that's where you kind of say, once even cross profession, when you ping with someone, you're like, oh, there's other people in other professions that are kind of on the same wavelength.
Right. And like, you kind of always wanted to be like more scientific and intellectual and less like touchy feely. And now it's perfectly acceptable to be more touchy feely. And obviously, you want to have the expertise of the scientific data, or at least to know that you are able and capable to research it, you know? And so I have never been so like less afraid to tell a client, let me get back to you, than I am now, because people are so accepting because they just want to be heard. You know what I mean?
I love that. And what really motivated you to go down the route of nutrition? Like, how did you feel connected in order to want to learn more?
So back when I was late teens, early 20s, I had the opportunity, I think you did too, to play college sport. And so I was playing college basketball in like 2002 to 2006. And I used to always say, I used to get sick at the end of every season when we would be going into the tournaments. And like, we made it to Sweet 16. And I remember being so doped up on Sudafed just so I could play. And I was like, there's got to be something more. And so I used to ask the trainers, I'm like, hey, listen, I want to perform at the most elite level. Like, my time's running out as an athlete. I didn't want to play after college. And, but I want to be the best I can now. So like, there was nothing in performance nutrition. And they basically gave me the same meal plan as they gave the football players.
Wow.
Which wasn't it wasn't helpful, you know? And so I started studying it myself because I was all about like energy, maxing out on energy, like understanding where the energy is coming from that we're using when we perform. And then when I was done with college basketball, that obsession kind of drew me into more of a disordered eating control, I would say spiral. And that's when I was like full on studying it. I was getting some certifications and deciding what kind of school I wanted to go to keep studying nutrition. And because I was going down that rabbit hole of disordered eating, I was trying to like pinpoint who I could help. And I always say like God took me there. So I started working with sororities because I felt like they probably needed the same help. And I wasn't wrong. I guess at that time, a study was done and 4 out of 5 sorority girls were struggling with or facing future eating disorders. And so I was lucky that I was in such a college condensed area in Orange County and was working with Long Beach and all the areas surrounding with the different sororities and teaching them how to eat to fuel their bodies and then also how to exercise without overloading their bodies. And so I kind of took the both routes, nutrition and exercise at that point. And I was like running sorority boot camps. And I did this in my early 20s through my first and second pregnancies until I had 2 kids. And I was like, okay, I got to hone in on just nutrition. And so it was kind of my own like personal frustrations that brought me here, which I would guess is kind of how it happens for most people when it is something that you're truly passionate about. And it really evolved with where I was in my own life. Then 3 kids. After I had 3 kids, I started working with a couple of celebrities because, you know, Southern California, it's hard to avoid. And I was like intentionally avoiding it for a while. But I had 3 kids and I was working with celebrities and I was like, okay, this, I can't do one-on-ones anymore because you know how hard that is.
Yeah.
Jen and Dr. Dom, I know you guys know how hard that is. And so I was like, I got to create a program and we'll call it a challenge because I love a good challenge. Like I've always, you know, had an athlete mentality. And so I put together this challenge. I drew up what I thought it should look like and filled with real food meal plans and kind of simple to reach everybody and super, super affordable. Like, I'm a Midwest girl. I know where I'm from. People aren't going to pay for nutrition services. So I knew I had to kind of meet the whole country where they were at. And my very first challenge, I had 150 participants and I was like, oh, I think this is going to be a thing. Nice. So that was 8 years ago. Yeah. Because my third daughter's 8. And then I had a fourth child and then I had to start hiring people. So now here I am 12 years down the road and have about 8 employees.
Oh my goodness. Mm. I love it. I mean, and even just your story in where you kind of connected with the young women in what you were doing, I fear that now with social media, that age is going to start sooner and sooner because of the comparison and the way the body is quote unquote supposed to look.
And just messaging of social media, diet messaging, food and, messaging.
Yeah. So,
And you know, it's crazy. It's like not even in social media. It's not just social media. It's like in their face.
Yeah.
And now my passion keeps like adjusting, like I said, based on my own personal life. And now I have, you know, 11, 9, and 8-year-old girls who already talk about body image stuff.
Oh my God.
And I hear their friends talk about it. And I hear them say words like fat that they don't know what they don't even know what fat means. And so it's like, it's always shifting. And of course, because now my kids are talking about it. And now I'm even more passionate, like mama bear passionate.
Oh yeah.
And so now, now I've decided to write a balanced kid program. Not only just for girls, but just for parents and for kids to understand. And so it's going to be like a comprehensive like nutrition guide, because unfortunately they don't understand the connection to food and fuel and how their bodies look and feel. And they're not taught that, you know? And so, like I said, I'm always evolving with my own personal life. And I have always said that kids are your greatest teachers, especially your own kids. And so many people find their own kids so frustrating. And I'm like, wait, with that emotion, like what's leading that charge, you know? And like, wait, hold on, say that again. I'm like writing down what they say.
Yeah.
Because it's an incredible learning experience. And then it also like kind of tells me where like other people are, you know, because if my kids are going through it, they're not the only ones. Mm-hmm.
And I think everything that you're talking about is pointing out something super, super important, from your kids to these women in the sororities to athletes. I mean, your story started as a college athlete. I was also a college athlete. And when I look back at my nutrition or the way that all my fellow athletes ate, like it was awful. And I think so many of us were thrown into this kind of disordered eating realm because the education just, it wasn't available. We weren't seeking it out. We weren't told it was important. So yeah, if we feel like it's that way for athletes, just the general public, I feel like must be lost. So how can we start to educate people earlier? How can we start to bring that education to them so they start to understand what fuel is and what different foods can do for our body? Because I just feel like there's a lack of those resources all around.
Yeah, you're right. And what I see even kids doing is they go straight to what they see their parents doing. And I still see so many adults struggling with understanding like proper calorie usage. And I say usage because we don't realize like we're using this, you know, measurement of energy to support different, not only systems in our body, but how we feel. And so I'm always teaching in my challenges. And that's one way I feel like I can help change the world is that people can come to me and join a challenge and get comprehensive nutrition education based on how they feel. So one thing we always promote is, you know, we're all unique and there's this instinctual, intuitive way that you can learn how to eat that feels right, where you're not stuck counting calories or even counting macros, where you're kind of just using your own like sense as a measurement. We count macros for our clients. We like to keep their blood sugar balanced. And so we teach balancing your blood sugar by eating within. And like we've talked about, we mostly work with women, like 99.9% of women. And so my best way to pass this knowledge on is to get adults feeling better and understanding nutrition better. And I feel like obviously reaching families is where it's at. And I would say like most of my business is driven and geared towards reaching families, but I also have plenty of single people that have great success. And not only do they have great success, but then they pass it on to their parents. And I've had rounds of challenges where I have like an 88-year-old grandfather with his 60-year-old daughter, with her 40-year-old daughter, with their 20-year-old daughter, like four generations of family members. And I feel like that's so powerful. And it speaks volume when people feel good, which is why I was so worried about Jen when she was fasting. But I know there's obviously benefits to all different ways of, you know, nurturing our bodies. But, and so my goal is always to just meet people where they're at and teach them where they're at. And in general, I obviously have nutrition guidelines, and that is, I teach no matter what age I'm talking to, whether it's my 11-year-old friends or like my 37-year-old friends, I teach them like we need to eat, and then we need to make sure we're not letting our blood sugar get so low that we feel bad or we're like having cravings. And so I teach eating within the hour of waking up. Like I said, this applies mostly to women. Fellas, you guys can get away with a lot of crap.
Anyways, that's true. That's true.
I feel bad sometimes. And I always say, man, I would be absolutely awful as a woman with my diet habits.
I have a very good friend who I'm going to throw under the bus because I'm not going to say her name, but she's very famous. And she always like tries to get away with doing stuff her husband does. And I'm like, when are you going to learn? Like, she uses every piece of equipment that ever comes out to test her blood sugar. And like, is she burning fat for calories? Is she burning carbs for calories? And she's like, well, why is he burning fat and I'm burning carbs? And I'm like, because you're very, very different.
Yeah, exactly.
Testosterone?
Yeah, and like men's hormones, what, they turn around every day. Women, we are between what, like 24 to 30 days.
Yeah,
you know, so
exactly.
It's never going to be the same. But obviously people, men and women alike, can benefit from, you know, the same similar eating patterns. And so I teach eating within the hour of waking up every 3 to 4 hours after that. And this is very also emotionally comforting to women because they're always worried about overeating, right? And so then I teach to always combine your macros. And I actually teach a higher amount of carbs. And I guess that comes from the athlete in me. And most people I'm working with are super active, whether they're like busy moms or like coaches or athletes themselves. And I teach 50% carbs, 30% fat, and 20% protein. Obviously, very, very generalized because I don't expect people to measure. I haven't measured in 11 years since said disordered eating.
Wow.
And so I teach people to do this with intuitive eating in mind. And then my big one is eating 5 colors a day of fruit and vegetables. Mm. And the goal behind that is kind of twofold. One, obviously, the antioxidants are just going to be so powerful in our bodies that we're going to feel so much better. But two is that it's just pretty. It's appealing to the eye. And I feel like it draws in that emotional connection to what they're doing. And it does give people something to count because, as you guys know, in the diet culture, like, and I have a lot of carryover from the diet culture, people like need something to count and control. And so we're always back here going, well, count your colors.
I love that.
But the other fun thing about that is with the kids.
Yeah.
And so one of my designers draw up a color wheel. And so that families could print it and like put a spinner on it and the kids could spin what colors for dinner.
Oh my gosh.
To get like the whole family involved. And also just to get kids thinking about like how many different colors they can have. And I get so many parents sending me pictures of their kids wanting to show me how proud they are of themselves because they made their own colorful lunch or something. Mm-hmm. So those are kind of the guidelines that I put out there. But then obviously there's so many things that can shift it in a specific situation. You know, I think when you're working with the mass market, now I have over 2,000 people a challenge. Ooh. And I have like 750 regular subscribers. Mm. And so you have to be general, you know, when you share this information, but I'm so lucky that people trust me enough to reach out to me and we can change things up based on how they're feeling. And so we're always saying after 10 days of eating this way. So the way we set up our challenges, we can take anybody from any age. Like I can work with 12-year-olds in the challenge because it's real food and we're not restricting calories. Now we are taking out inflammatory foods, as you guys know, but we make it so easy that people like forget what gluten is mm-hmm. and they forget that like they don't need cheese on every salad, you know? Mm-hmm. And so we take out gluten and dairy, and we're kind of a no soy gang over here, but we do have plenty of vegans and vegetarians that thrive perfectly following our vegetarian guidelines. And then obviously we only incorporate, you know, the healthier oils and all the foods. We plan out the foods, okay? So we write 3 weeks of meal plans, and then we have 1 week of a mix and match. Well, the first 10 days are completely dairy and gluten-free, and then we start to reintroduce that. Mm. And the reintroduction phase is mostly so they can realize what was making them feel the way they were feeling. Because a lot of people come to us, and they're like, I'm already eating healthy.
Yeah.
There's something else wrong. And we're like, okay, we'll try it our way. And if by day 10, you're not feeling great, then let's tweak something, yeah. You know? And I'm sure you see a lot of people or hear from a lot of women, especially after they no longer have a cycle. And so they're in perimenopause or menopause or whatever. The aches and pains are different. The caloric load is everything changes, you know? And so if they're not feeling good, especially when they've hit that certain hormone stage of life, then we want to tweak things. And so I have a staff of 4 nutritionists now who are able to take questions literally around the clock while we're in a challenge. Like we don't even take Saturdays and Sundays, and you guys know how that goes. Mm. Because we want to be available for these people. We want them to be able to ask us at lunchtime if they can make the swap at dinner and make that work. And we provide a pretty comprehensive exchange list too for people, like let's say they can't have almonds or any tree nuts. Well, here's the seeds that you can swap it, or here's the avocado, you know, like we categorize the foods for them and we teach them how to interchange them. And so like our goal for people to go through our program is that they feel empowered to make these decisions on their own. Obviously, you know, they want to stay close to the community because it's accountability plus positivity plus, you know, expertise, and people don't want to do things on their own. You know, it's hard and it's scary.
Oh, yeah. Creating habits. I mean, I feel like accountability is one of the number one things to help people actually start to build healthier habits and right. feel empowered to be able to do that. So like joining a challenge and having that support, I think is absolutely amazing. And when someone is coming through a challenge, like what does success mean for a person after this challenge?
I love that you say that, because we say it's a no fail system, and that doesn't mean like you're going to lose a pound a day at the end of it. Success looks like you have a takeaway that's going to last you through the rest of your life. And mm-hmm. a lot of people, for them, that's like combining macros, or that is eating more than they're used to because they weren't properly fueling. Or that's like something as simple as wild blueberries, you yeah. know, like this food that they didn't realize was that much more potent of a superfood, or spirulina that they now can't live without. Or like we did a whole gut health challenge. So we always do a education piece to each challenge. And our spring one was gut health. And we had people taking trace minerals, and they're like, oh my gosh, like how did I ever live without this? And so success is having a takeaway that you are going to remember for the rest of your life, and hopefully even apply for the rest of your life. Like I have people, my sorority girls, you know, still message me out of the blue, like, I can't eat a carb by itself ever. I never have. Nice. And so that's what I see as success. Somebody that just, you know, has this lifetime takeaway, but also just feels so much better about themselves.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
That's so powerful. And I mean, we see the same thing in the challenges that Jen will do with movement. I mean, mm-hmm. same way with describing success. It is successful if somebody comes out and has an ounce more awareness yes. about something about their pain, something about the the thing with their knee or their back or their hip that they've been wondering about for years. And finally doing this challenge, they've learned a little bit more about how their body moves. Same way, it sounds, with your challenges, they're going to come away with some sort of understanding about how their body interacts with food a little bit more. And I think that's awesome.
Exactly. And so we actually try to train them how to food log, because so many people have used logging in order to count, you know, mm-hmm. and I'm sure, like, even with pain logging, you know, like it's probably very similar where they connect these dots that they're like, oh my gosh, duh. You know, I wish I would have done this a year ago and figured it out a year ago for you guys, like before I was injured and didn't have to unwind all of this pain and suffering. And food's very similar. Like, a lot of people have, even with, say, avocado or something healthy that they didn't know was making them not feel well, or that was depleting their energy stores because their bodies were working overtime to try to digest it. And so it's amazing when they have those takeaways. And then over, like I was saying, we always have some educational piece to our challenges. This September and Fall Back to Health challenge, we always incorporate hormones. And we're going over the whole endocrine system, because I feel like when you talk about hormones, people don't realize, like, it's a part of a whole system.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like pain management. Like, I know you say your shoulder hurts, but, like, let's check out your hip. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Exactly.
It's the same thing. And so I'm breaking that down with my really good friend who's a functional medicine doctor in Orange County. Mm. And she always kind of gives the clinical side. But the cool thing about her is she's actually very into, like, the emotional and spiritual connections of all of it too. And so we give them journaling prompts, and we give them meditation prompts, and we guide them through all of this, like, emotional and spiritual work alongside of it, so that they understand, like, okay, my endocrine system is not just about estrogen or progesterone. It's about, like, the hormones being, you know, messengers in my body, and, like, what's going on. And then the other thing that we're trying to teach this round is that your hormones aren't in charge of you. You're in charge of your hormones, you know? And I'm sure you guys hear it all the time, but, you know, my hormones do this, my hormones do that. And I'm like, well, you know, take a step back and take over again, because you're actually in charge of your body. And so coming off of summer where people are partying it up and drinking too much and not getting enough sleep, because, you know, how alcohol affects your sleep, and too much sugar. And, you know, I do feel like our endocrine system kind of takes a hit, probably men just as much as women. I just haven't studied it as much. So that's why we always target hormone health in our September Fall Back to Health challenges. And the other thing is like, a lot of moms are in our group and they're sending their kids back to school. And there's a lot of emotions with that for a lot of different people. And we're trying to help them understand, like, okay, your hormones are going to take a hit if you're not dealing with these emotions that you're going through, you know?
So can you talk a little bit into, I know the endocrine system and hormones is just a massive topic, but just, again, this process of how we can help people connect, like, okay, these food decisions I'm making might be disrupting my hormone system. And even when I change, make food change behaviors, there may be some transition in how my body feels as things kind of sort out. I mean, how do you educate people that we might make a change? It might not feel amazing right away.
Yeah. And I'm so glad you said that, because we do really, like, when we get our group together, we start talking to them about, hey, listen, like, if you have been dieting for years, or if you have been having hormone disruptions for a very long time, this is going to take a minute. Like, you'll feel better by day 10. So there will be some improvement. Like, they might even notice in their nails or their hair or their skin or their sleep or their movement or their joints. Like, there will be change by day 10, but it might not show on the scale. And so we're kind of the long haul program, and we try to help people understand, like, in order to heal their body on a cellular level, it takes more time than, say, like, a weight loss challenge, which, like, we've had, for the record, clients, because, you know, hormones and weight kind of go together, especially for women after 40. But we've had clients lose like 75 pounds and never even tell us, because they were only telling us how good they felt and that they got out of they got off their thyroid medication, or they got off their blood pressure medication, or their cholesterol medication. You know, I'm sure you guys get the same thing. They're so excited to tell you about like the major health improvements that they don't even they stop thinking about why they started, you know. And so with the endocrine system, like you're saying, it seems like it kind of retains all these bad messages for a very long time. And so it's hard to get it to understand, like, you're going to succeed. You're going to be healthy again. Your hormones are going to be balanced again. Like, there's a huge rewiring that has to happen in people. And so I think because like the community engagement, and because bringing in a functional medicine doctor and all of that kind of helps like reiterate the same message, people are kind of like, more so than I've ever experienced in anything, like people do the full 30 days. And you know how when you like see people like, oh, I'm doing a cleanse or a detox or whatever, yeah, and they're like on day 6 and they're giving up.
Yeah.
It's really remarkable. And I don't even like take the credit for it. I just luckily draw in like the most dedicated people. It's amazing, because I think I'm kind of the last ditch effort. I think they've tried the diets and they've gone to the doctors and they're like, screw it, nothing else is working, I'll go try Kara's plan. And so I think that makes them extra committed. And I also think they can start to feel their difference in the hormones. And like you're saying, the behaviors when your hormones do start improving, where you're less moody and your energy's more stable, maybe even like your cycle has improved. We hear that a lot. And, you know, it overwhelms me to hear when people have been having trouble getting pregnant and they're able to get pregnant on our following our plan just by healing their bodies on that cellular level. But Dr. Dom, you are right. It takes time. And that's kind of why we ever instituted a subscription plan anyways, is because we were getting people to 30 days and they're like, now what? Like clinging for dear life to us. Like, don't let me go out into this world alone.
Yeah, I think that's hard for people because that becomes the yo-yo effect, right? Of I did this thing, I felt good, but then I go out with friends and I don't know how to apply it in my everyday life. Like, how do people, and I think that too is what holds people back from even taking on a challenge. Well, what if I take on this challenge and I just go right back? Or what if it's too hard? And I think maybe credit to what you've created is that if you create a system that people can actually follow for 30 days, you're breaking it down and making it accessible. And I think that accessibility piece is what holds people back, the fear of not being able to do it, the fear of it taking too long. Like, what do you say for all of those?
Well, not only taking too long, but like taking too much time out of their day. Yep. That's the other fear that people have, is like, I don't have time to do this cooking or cleaning or whatever it is. And it's like, you actually, I say you get time back, because you feel so much better and you have the energy to do it, that you'll feel like you actually have more hours in your day. And going back to the accessibility, like you're saying, like, I think when we get back to them in an email, like within 24 hours, they're like, oh my gosh, you're a real person. And like, I can do this because I have access to you. And this is sustainable because you're not going away. And I think it really does alleviate a lot of that fear that holds people back. And it's hard for me to even communicate how accessible we are, because I think it's so shocking. Like, when we send them an email, like with their name in it, they're like, oh my gosh, that was so personal. But I feel like that's what I'm here for. Like, I want people to feel like they're individually working with us, but not paying individual, you know, thousands of dollars prices, you know? Yeah.
So I have a question, and this is something that I've always been super into personally. And I saw it listed, I think, on one of your challenges when I was reading through what it includes and stuff. But it says you like to focus on seasonal diets or eating with different seasons. And personally, I grew up with a garden. I'm from the Midwest too. I loved when I could be eating dinner and look outside and be like, hey, there's the food that I'm eating right now. Or mm-hmm. I really enjoy to be able to be eating something inside and like look outside and see it growing in a tree. So what is it to eating seasonally or eating things that grow outside in the area that we live in?
Well, clearly your dad irrigated his garden well, because my dad made us carry buckets across the street night after night.
We lived right off of a lake, luckily, so plenty of moisture.
Well, and so we didn't feel the same gratitude, but now as an adult, I'm like, why didn't I feel that gratitude? I love that you say that. So we try to incorporate foods that are part of the season, and everything we do is kind of twofold. Obviously, the seasonal foods are going to be the most power-packed, nutrient-filled foods, because that's when they're the ripest. But they also, like, and it does feel good to definitely, like, be reaping the benefit of your hard work with your own garden, for sure. Mm. But the other thing is it's like, it brings joy to people, especially fall. Fall foods really, really bring joy to people. It's so funny. And so you incorporate these foods that make them feel like more present in the moment. So obviously the nutritional value is higher, but it also is like this manipulative psychology way of us trying to get them more present in the moment and which season of life they're in. And then a lot of times we incorporate like in winter, how to slow down, because, you know, in California, you don't have winter and you don't really like get to prepare to slow down. Well, we moved to Tennessee and I was like, I like winter more than the average person. I don't have to keep like up with the Joneses anymore, and I can turn on the fire and like chill and read. And that's what your body and nature is calling you to do at that time. So fall is sort of like we bring into, obviously, like you said, the seasonal foods and stuff, but we also bring in an account of a season of change, because in most places of the country, there's a big shift in the season change, and then the leaves start changing. And so it's a time of like reflection and like what we can grow into and change into. And I know that sounds like a little woo-woo, but I feel it deep in my soul when seasons change, how I shift. And so I try to teach that with people too. And the food does a great job of it. You know, when people start eating cinnamon combined with pumpkin, they feel like home for the holidays.
Oh, yeah. It's so true.
Serve it up.
Kind of talk through some of those key foods that, you know, people might want to start looking into. I mean, cinnamon, pumpkin, that's a huge one for fall. But are there like certain vegetables during different seasons that are more beneficial at certain times?
Exactly. You're exactly right. And the fall season, it's funny because we start it in a lot of places, it still feels like summer. So we have to like get those last few weeks out of the summer squashes before we convert to the winter squashes. And so squash is like kind of the most popular one that you switch into. But you'd be surprised that like cucumbers and green beans are still seasonal, you know, in September. And so we incorporate that too. And then you switch into like persimmons and pears and you just get the, you know, the most ripe. And the other cool thing about it is they're always the most affordable too, because they're seasonal.
Yeah, it's true.
And then we try to look at it from like the whole country perspective, but then we of course get people from the Eastern Hemisphere like joining sometimes, and they're like, oh, well, this isn't working for me. So we send them like the winter one for the summer and vice versa. So I'm trying to remember what other peppers are still seasonal right now. Like Dr. Dom's saying about, you know, when you grow a garden in the Midwest, late August and September, you're still like eating off of it. Pretty routinely.
Pulling carrots out of the ground all the way into the fall.
Yeah, exactly. And then people harvest and can their stuff too. I love the Midwest way of life when it comes to gardening.
I'm watching my cousin right now. They have like 102 tomato plants, and they have they have a garden that is like way too big for their family home, but it's amazing. And they are just spending like all of the late summer and fall canning, and they have three young boys. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, that is the most amazing thing to be doing with their young boys, having them pick the food, wash the food, cook it, can it, consume it in the winter. So fun.
It's so true, unless you're like me and always had to be the one to husk the corn. And you guys, I was like slave labor, but even my boyfriends in high school had to pick green beans. But
that's amazing.
Anyways, I husked corn once as a kid and a worm came out, and that was like the end of my corn journey.
I have a quick question. I saw something really cool once when it came to the colors that you were talking about and eating colors. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you do anything with parents. You said you'd like to educate with parents so that they can then educate to their kids. And I think people mm-hmm. like when they understand why. Okay, five colors, great. Why? Like, do you have any quick things that you start to teach parents? Like, okay, reds are good because of this. Yellows are good because of this.
Actually, we have a full chart that will be included when we put out the Balanced Kid Guide. So, because kids really do like connecting to why. Like, okay, well, if I eat this, then I'll be able to see the board from the back seat of the classroom. You know what I mean? Like oranges and reds. And then people are always surprised to see white and browns and grays actually are included and what those do for your body. I'm trying to pull up my chart right now as we speak, because I'm like, wow, I wasn't prepared for that question.
Sorry, I'm throwing you the real curveballs now.
Where's my color chart? But they're also surprised to see that blue and purples have the same nutritional key points, the same phytonutrients working for them, and similar with reds and oranges and yellows. So they kind of have some crossover. Mm. And I love reds, you know, for the prostate health and, you know, how it works for your heart and stuff like that. And then for kids, like, you have a picture of a heart and it's like, here's how red actually, you know, actually pumps nutrients through my heart. And so we do try to teach it through graphics. And I have a graphic I was trying to pull up on my computer, but I can't find it right now. But I can maybe send it to you guys and you can include it.
Oh, yeah. No worries. That'd be amazing. We could always give people a link to click or something and take a look.
Yeah. I know. That would be amazing. I mean, I think this is just such good information just with the urgency to continue learning. Too, I think is so important because as we go through life, our body will go through different stages. And so having a place or joining challenges that like the one that you offer is such a great way to continue to explore what your body needs in the season that it's in. And what a great way to be able to do that, to have community, to have education, to have it. And I know it's an affordable price because I looked at it. I mean, it's so cheap for everything you offer.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And it is really nice to always kind of grow in our education, but also then in our awareness of ourselves.
Yeah.
Because like you're right. You're exactly right. How often we go through different stages and, you know, in our 20s, the HIIT workouts were amazing and they worked really well for our bodies. And then in our late 30s, they like wipe out our adrenals and our energy. And we're like, wait a second, my workout used to feel good and now it hurts. And so like understanding yourself and always evolving as a student of your own body is something that I think is so fun. And I know you guys do too. And so hopefully more people will start looking inward instead of, you know, what the world can do for me, for my health, and what they could do for their own health.
If we can do anything with this podcast, is to help people bring a little more awareness and maybe seek out some of this more information, get signed up for the challenge. Check you out online at Kara Clark Nutrition, if I have that right, for your IG. And yeah. Where else can they find, you know, this challenge? I know that you have one coming up here.
Yeah, the Fall Back to Health is pretty easy to find through my website. And I'm Kara Clark Nutrition across the board for everything. And Pinterest has a ton of recipes immediately accessible. Mm. I think, you know, recipes are great, but they don't change your life. And so I would just recommend signing up. Run, don't walk, go sign up now and come join us. But if that's not good timing for you, I also have a book called The Wellness Remodel, and it really explains my food philosophy, but also how we incorporate other pieces of wellness like movement and emotional and spiritual wellness into our plan and program. And that you can find at any bookstore pretty much. I think Target still carries it, and Amazon, of course.
The thing is, too, we always think, oh, I'll join a challenge when it's this time or when it's perfect time or when I don't have events. But what an amazing opportunity to be able to join a challenge and learn around events, because that's real life. Like it is being in the world and still learning about your body and seeing how you can feel it best so that you feel best when you're there. So I think this is such a great opportunity, and I do recommend people going to get in, because I love how you said too, recipes are great, but if you don't have anything that's actually structured, you're not going to, like, you'll try one and then that's great, right? It's like people coming to my Instagram, trying one of the posts and then expecting sudden change, right? Like, it doesn't work like that.
Yeah, which is what, you know, pushed you forward and gave you that momentum to build the program that you built. And my goodness, does CCN and Optimal Body need to collaborate?
I know.
Believe it's that. True. Believe that.
Maybe one day. Hey.
I know. Because we need to incorporate more body stuff and body education. It's just all so interconnected and fun to do.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hey, I think you just planted the seed.
I know. So. I did.
Talk about seed growing planet. Things.
Speaking of gardening.
How many nerdy vegetable things can we throw out here right now? Again, this has been so amazing. Thank you so much for everything you brought today, all the information to help people even start to realize that they might need to look a little more into what we're putting in our body, how that impacts the way we feel. One of my favorite things you said was we like to become a, you know, just a victim to our physiology, when in reality, we have so much more control over that. And I think so many people can really find that they are the master of their own physiology through your programs.
Yeah, I love the way you put that. I need to write it down.
You said it.
I mean, he said it better.
Well, thank you. Of course, we'll have everything linked up. So if you guys just, you know, well, one, go follow her on Instagram, and I'm sure you'll be able to find it there. But if you need to, just go in the show notes real quick, find that link, and sign up for the challenge.
Shoot, maybe we'll be in one of these challenges soon.
I was just going to say.
There we have it. I think that probably my favorite interviews have to be the ones that have to do with nutrition and diet and nutrition science. Again, because I love to cook, but that's not the thing that I know the most about. So walking away from that, I feel like I'm even taking away a few tips that Kara brought up that are going to help Jen and I be a little more aware of what we're eating, what season we're eating in, all of those different things. Of course, go check her out. Go get in her challenge. And if you've been loving the podcast or listening and really enjoyed it, please rate, review, subscribe, pass it on to your friends. Please get this information out there. We want to do this for free so we can continue to help you, again, find that optimal body wherever you're at. Next week, we have some amazing podcasts coming up on ankle sprains, cupping. If anybody has been watching the Olympics or saw some of the Olympics recently, they notice all those cupping marks on everyone's back. So a couple great episodes coming up next week. See you there.